Hello, everyone. Brandon Love here with Tom Moffitt. We are back in the studio recording this episode. Tom has just returned from one happy island called Aruba. He's got a little bit of sun on his ginger body, and he's feeling good and ready to record. So
I got to correct you. It's Daywalker, brother. Daywalker. If you've ever seen South Daywalker. Park, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Whatever the difference might be, we thought today was a timely episode for us to share kind of how to take a vacation. And I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with in our business, where it's eat what you kill. Day to day, you know that if a file comes in and you miss it, you lose the pay 60 to 90 days out. So it's really hard to take that time off, but it's also important to take that time and go with your family, go explore something and take a break and a mental step away from your business.
Yeah, this is honestly the first vacation I've taken where I'd say I was probably 90% hands off and not in any files and not in my business at all, which was a great feeling. Like I've taken vacation in the past where it was kind of like a workcation where I was working while on vacation, which I actually don't mind. But every now and then, I do think you need to be completely unplugged and off the grid just to reset your mindset. And I feel like really good coming back and recharged, ready to go take on the spring market. So I think it's great timing and it worked very, very well. Obviously, with everything, there's going to be improvements that we can make. And that's what we're going to touch on in this episode. And I hope that the listener for this can gain some inspiration, first of all. And second of all, you can kind of plan your next steps on taking this vacation, because even if you don't have a teammate or someone on your team to cover you, there are different steps you can take in order to get to that position to go off the grid. So why don't we start off with number one?
Yeah, so number one is the base, and it's just establishing a broker buddy. And that's someone who you trust enough to monitor your emails, to communicate with your clients and your partners, and to have access to your submission platform, like something like Finmo. So a key piece in our business here is that we are now merged and we're partners. But that being said, you don't need to have that kind of arrangement. Like prior to our partnership, there was a time when Tom and Bridget went on, I believe it was their honeymoon, and I watched Tom's book of business for him. You can have that relationship as well. So there's a few key ways to set that up, which we'll go deeper on now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's important to know that you don't need to have a business partner. Like, even though I'm seeing more brokers actually do what we did, which is really cool. I'm not saying they got the idea from us, but there's a lot more brokers that are partnering and merging businesses, which I think is really cool to see. But with that being said, you don't need to do that in order to do what we're talking about here. Establish that partnership with a buddy that's someone that you get along in the industry, not someone that you just met. Like, you have to trust this person well enough to go forward with a partnership with this or vacation specifically. So I always think that you do need to have those terms set up before you go on vacation. Like, you need to figure out what that other person, like, okay, what does it look like when I'm gone? Is it going to be like a monetary perspective? Am I going to pay you for the week? Am I going to pay you per file that you've worked on? Or is it just going to be like, hey, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. You're going to take this week for me, I'll take another week in the year for you. And we just swap week to week. So I think you do need to have those terms set up front. What are your thoughts on that, Brandon? Do you think the same, or do you think you just kind of go forward with trust in one another?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's important to have that discussion beforehand so no one's feeling jilted or that they got taken advantage of. Like, you could have a crazy week. Like, day one you left, I think I got 4 leads for you, and that was really busy. If we didn't have some sort of discussion before, I would have been like, holy crap, like, this is kind of pulling me away from my other business now. Your business is my business. But like, in another relationship, that's how you could feel. So you also want to have that conversation outlined to say, okay, if it is compensation, what does it look like for the person? I just did a discovery call and sent them the application. Do I need to have 25 basis points, for instance? Probably not.
Yeah.
If there's someone that, like, I did the full budget, pre-approval, collected all their docs, you come back and the file submitted, sure, that's a bit of a different scenario. So kind of walk through some of these situations and find someone who's aligned with you that way. You might start that conversation and be like, wow, this person has totally different principle system than me and I don't feel aligned with them at all. And that's a good indicator to not have them as a partner.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking this too now. I think it the most fair for both parties would be you do it from a monetary perspective per file and you break down what it looks like how active you were in that file. Because let's say I was covering for you. Well, I am covering for you in March, right? I think it was March break or the week before.
Yeah.
I'm covering for you for that week, and not saying this will happen, but let's say you have a super quiet week and I don't really have any files to work on for you. If we didn't have this partnership in the business and we were just covering for each other, then that would suck for you because you worked on so many leads and files for me. But then if I was working that week for you and did nothing, then it's not really fair there. So I do think there would have to be that monetary perspective in per file. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. I think sure, for certain people, that monetary piece also like matters. But for me, I'm like, okay, if I can have a week where I only have to do like an hour and a half to 2 hours of email forwarding to you, I'm happy to bear the cost of that. And like, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like a big loss. I think depending on where you're at in your business, first couple of years, you're probably doing a workcation either way. So
yeah. And you're also not going to partner up. Like if you're a 10 mil producer and this other person's a 40, it's not really fair. Yeah. You would kind of figure that out up front, I would imagine. I would hope so.
Exactly. So find that partner first before you book the vacation that you plan to be totally off the grid. But there are ways to find it and to establish that.
Yeah. So let's just dive a little bit deeper on the monetary perspective. So let's say someone decides, you know what, this person and I that want to partner together, we want to go the monetary route and pay per file. What would be some fair basis points that you personally would pay someone to cover your files? Like, let's break it down even from like discovery call to underwriting to file complete. Like, I know it's kind of getting in the weeds, but like, that's why we like doing this podcast, because nobody talks about this stuff. And I think if we have some takeaways from like some ideas as to like what you would compensate another broker, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So I think basis points is really difficult to do because you could work on like a B file that only gets paid.
Yeah.
50 bips. And, you know, that's hard to spread that around. I think a more fair way to do is if you kind of know what your hourly rate is, to turn on a toggle tracker and be like, Tom's files. And I worked on 10 hours on your files over the past week while you were away. And my hourly rate is $225. That's my compensation. If anything funds of those files, you pay me $2,250 is the max end. And I think that's fair. So if it funds today, great. If it funds 6 months from now, you're not constantly having to update because that's just extra admin task and work added to your plate. I think that's probably the easiest way to go about it. Beyond that, like setting basis points is a little bit tricky because you could get a volume bonus 6 months from now or the end of the year for someone like a lender like Scotia. And do I now get a portion of that volume bonus for working on that file? You know what I mean? It's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, I think my only counter argument to that would be that if you're using like hour tracking, not everyone does that. Like I'd probably say you're of the 1% of brokers that tracks your hours. And so you're going to now tell this other person like, hey, you have to track your hours. You have to download Toggle. You have to figure out the system, get that set up properly. I just think it's another hurdle to do. Whereas if you just set up a monetary thing where you're like, hey, every file that you touch, you get 20%, not basis points, percent of the gross commission, including volume bonus. Like that would just be super simple to do it that way. I wouldn't go by basis points either. I would agree with that because then it gets convoluted. But if it's a B file or an A file, it doesn't matter. You're doing percent of gross income. I think that'd be easy to figure out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. At the end of the day, you can see even within this call, we have different views on how things should be done. And person to person, everyone's going to feel differently that way. So find a person that aligns with you and then go forward.
Yeah,
is the easiest way to handle that. And you don't have to take the first person you ask. Like treat it like dating. Test it out. If you go on vacation, they absolutely fuck up, do it again. Like break that off.
Yeah.
So number two is once you have that relationship set up, you really have to dial in your communication with that person. So what we did is we had a call before Tom left. We went through all of his active files, went through any of the key notes on where things were at. So I knew exactly what was going on. And then as things came in, I did my own document where I updated his files on anything I touched. And then any new leads, I gave him a link back to his application, to my discovery call notes, anything I've updated the realtor partner on. And so he came in and he just had to do a quick like 20-minute review of his whole portfolio of clients. And he knew exactly where things were at.
Yeah. And keep in mind, listener, I know we are partnered and you might think like, oh, we share the same CRM. It's easy for us to kind of see what's going on. We actually track our own files, even though we are partnered. Like I have my own spreadsheet on my side, Brandon, you have your own on your side. So pretty much like if we weren't partnered together, it's the same system that we went forward with. So if you have your own way of tracking your own mortgages, you can easily do this through listing them all out on a Google Doc. And next step, I didn't even do this, but what I would do is I would actually record a Loom overview of all of the files. You can either record one Loom per file, just put the link, hyperlink either the Finmo number or the Velocity number and just say, hey, the videos are hyperlinked here. Just watch it per file and do like a 30-second overview. I think that would be super helpful for the other person.
For sure. That particularly would be helpful for anything that goes like active underwriting. So I'll give you one example. Tom had a file that went live and it was someone with self-employed income. And I had to jump in the file and I'm like, hey, how did he determine this income level? And I was reviewing his notes, which your notes were great. So that made it good. But it did take me 15, 20 minutes to kind of get a grasp of the file before I was able to flip it out. Whereas if there was a Loom video being like, hey, this is how I did it,
yeah,
it would have saved me some time that way.
It sounds like it would be a lot of work up front. But if you think about it, the amount of time it would save you, if I'm doing a 30-second overview for every file in the, say, pre-approved stage and they're out there shopping and looking, I think maybe you spend 5-10 minutes on all of those files versus like if you had 2 or 3 files go live and you're spending 15 minutes a file, you're saving that other person a lot of time. So I think it'd be helpful doing that.
Exactly. So the next part here is to really focus on communication once again, but this is with your key partners. So you want those realtors, lawyers, underwriters, anyone who's in your file right now to know that you're away. But not that you're away and wait a week to send me any business. You're away and someone's covering you. So do a little intro. So Tom did a little, hey, Brandon's covering my files for me. If you need anything, here's the email to send it to, the contact information, all that stuff. So any of his files, when they sent things in, I just updated them right away. I called his realtors, hey, just calling on behalf of Tom. Here's a quick update on where the clients are at. And everyone was really happy. We got a lot of great feedback on how the communication didn't drop off at all while he was away for a full week.
Yeah. And before we touch on the realtors, because that's going to be a longer conversation, real quick, and this is off the top of my head, but we share the same email. So it was easier for us doing it that way. But you obviously don't share the same email with this other broker partner that you're partnering with for the vacation. What I would do, if you're comfortable doing it, forward your emails over automatically to that person's email. Or if you're not comfortable doing that, have an autoresponder in your email whenever someone emails and just say, hey, I'm away on vacation. Here's the email address for my partner, so-and-so. Reach out to them if you require any assistance during this time. If not, I'll be responding back to you on this date. That way people have a heads up. It gets responded to them right away. And then if it's urgent, they will reach out to that other person.
Exactly. And I think like the auto response is likely the better way. Forwarding all your emails sounds great in theory, but then if you realize like all the emails you get from lenders, all of your like subscriptions and different things you're on for, if that person's getting bombarded, then they now have this admin task of weeding through your emails. One overlay we kind of discussed in reflection of this is that for our individual emails that sometimes pass, partners still send things to clients who don't know our new experts email still send things to, but we are going to have like a VA or even just an assistant hop in there, forward the emails over and just make sure everything's looked after that way.
Yeah, that's a great tip there. We haven't done the VA portion of it. We do have fulfillment taking our files from approval onwards to closing. So that definitely helped too, but you don't need that. Like if your other partner isn't in that space where they have that fulfillment and they're still doing fulfillment, then that's why we said at the beginning, like partner with someone that's at the same volume as you. Cause if you're not at the point where you both don't have any employees working for you and you're working on the file from start to finish, then that's the better fit versus someone like us who haven't seen a file from approval onwards in quite some time. You don't want that person doing signing packages.
Yeah. I think I could still bang out a pretty nice signing package. I saw a few years and they were pretty ugly. So
you were on the compliance streak for how long, man, with our brokerage? Like, yeah. Not me.
I like compliance. It's how you get paid. So he hates it, whatever. All right. Number 4 is to update your active clients. So same thing. Make sure they know. New leads, it's a bit tricky. We just had a templated email that said, hey, Brandon Love, I'm just covering Tom's desk while he's away on vacation. Here's a link to my calendar if you want to jump on a call. If not, here's a link to Tom's. You can schedule something when he's back. And I would say for most of the leads, they booked with me. And then I just transferred the notes over to you. And it was pretty easy that way. Towards the end of Tom's vacation, a few clients, like my calendar was more full. So they just booked in Tom's because it was the next available spot. So then he had discovery calls when he came back, which is kind of a nice feeling to come home to.
Yeah, I had 5 booked calls on the day I came back. I was so tired too, but it was actually kind of cool to see. There is, I think, 2 or 3 clients that waited till I got back. Like some of them were first day I was away and they wanted to wait a week to talk to me. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. The other clients too, like I didn't even really update any of them saying, hey, I'm away.
Yeah.
Because I knew that you're on top of it, right? But I feel like if you're not sharing that inbox with that other person, then it probably is better to reach out to them first, especially clients that are really active shopping for a house. Then it's probably good to be proactive and let them know that you are gone, but you have them covered, no delay in anything, and that this other person's a rock star too and will handle everything for them.
Exactly. Like, speed kills all deals. So I think it's important to really communicate that with everyone there. So just quick highlight before we get into some reflections is, number one, pick that partner who can cover your business. Number two, share a breakdown and go really deep on the details here. The more detail you can provide them, the better, because it's going to give them more insights in the file, prevent back and forth with clients, and just an all around smoother experience. And it's just being prepared if anything comes up. And then number three and four is just to update those key partners and realtors.
Yeah, and I realized I didn't really touch on the partners aspect of it too. So before we go to reflection, I just want to touch a bit on what I did with my realtor partners. So super simple. All I did was I reached out to my top realtors that like send me the most leads and that are most active with me. I reached out by phone. So I called all of them. It was actually a cool touch point to make anyways, because I had another question for them. It was actually on the lead tracker. I just wanted to ask them like, hey, what do you think of this? How's it going? So it was a really cool way for another touch point. And you're just establishing that communication and trust with them already, because they're like, hey, you know what? I have all the faith in you. I know you'll have yourself covered while you're gone. Go enjoy yourself. Don't worry about anything. And there was a couple of them that are like, oh yeah, don't worry. Like, I'll wait till you get back. I'm like, no. Don't wait till I get back. Still send the leads in, please. So there's that. And the other ones that are like semi-active, but don't send me too many leads, most of them I just did over text.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to do it. It's another ask for feedback. And this also shares like, you know what, I've established this partnership because we introduced our partnership. They know we're working together. A lot of like cross promoting of each other we've been doing. But like, Tom's partners haven't worked with me on very many files and vice versa. So this gives an opportunity to kind of see that performance is consistent across the whole brand, which is really great for our growth going forward as we add more team members to the mix.
Yeah. And you added a nice touch too. You actually called a lot of the realtors with updates while I was gone too. So I imagine like that relationship is now building for you with my partners and vice versa. So I think that was pretty cool that you did that.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. So the day after Tom got back, kind of he flew in, I think he got home at 1:30 in the morning. We had like a 10:30 in the morning call. And I was like, well, your brain's still fresh. You're kind of traveling home sucks, especially with a baby. I'm like, what was the worst part about this process? Let's do some like reflections, deep dive. What can we pick apart and make better for the next iteration? We'll just keep doing this process until we get it really dialed in. So these are some of the reflections. So we're going to go over some of them. But Tom, before we dive into that, I just want to know, on your whole vacation, how much time do you think you had to put into your mortgage business over a 7-day time period?
Yeah, so it was actually, because I was just thinking about this before we recorded, it was between 60 to 90 minutes of me on my laptop in the file. I didn't work on any prospecting, any social, well, kind of social, but that was just like more for fun for me. But yeah, active files like in the business, about 60 to 90 minutes.
Okay, so hour to an hour and a half there, which is great. Like, I know that I've gone on vacations before where I'm like 4 hours a day. So
to be honest, like I probably could have just let you do that. I think it was like 2 to 3 clients I was updating budgets for. They were putting in offers. And I just like, I knew you were getting slammed with the leads that came in from my side and you were busy with your business because I saw all the apps coming in. So I was like, you know what? I got time right now. I may as well just bang this out. So I was more so like just feeling bad, but I know like you would have done it anyway. So realistically, I probably could have got away with 0 minutes, but I stepped in there just because I had a bit of time. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's go to a couple of reflections, because I did have a reflection that tied just to what Tom said. And I told Tom for next time, it's either in or out. Partially jumping in on a file or partially jumping in on a client actually creates more confusion. And like, I was mentally prepared to have a very busy week and I time blocked everything for it. So then when I would jump on and start drafting an email and I would see Tom jumped in and sent something, I'm like, ah, fuck, like I just spent 5-10 minutes on that. And I also then didn't know, where's the file? Should I pick it up again later? So there was a little bit of cross wires there, which I would say going forward, it's either you're in or you're out. Don't try to jump in and manage something. Like, obviously, if there's like a total fire that needs you, I'll let you know. But we'll use the bat phone. Don't use the main email and we'll go that way.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking I was being nice, but if anything, it just fucked things up worse. So noted, man. Next vacation, it's all you, brother.
Yeah, no, that's good. We have to trust each other and we have to hand the files off and know that they're in good hands. So we'll try it. I'm going away 2 weeks from now. So I'm going to hand it off and put my faith in Tom and not try to get into the files unless absolutely needed. So it's kind of good to have back-to-back vacations for us like this, because we can close our feedback loop on it a bit and apply the stuff right away. You know what I mean? And then I'm going to come back with some feedback. You might say that was too far. We need sort of like a every 3 day check-in, that kind of thing. So I think it's great.
Yeah, exactly. And after this vacation, we'll probably just do like whatever episode we're recording at the time for this podcast, we'll just do like a quick 3 minute update within that episode and be like, hey, here's how it went. Here's some takeaways, and not have like a full episode on it, but we can just update as time goes on and let you listeners know like what's working for us. So hopefully you can apply it in your business too.
Exactly. So the next part here is just like, there's going to be one file that falls through the cracks. Don't worry about it. You can capture it when you get back. Tom had one where they sent him a text and it was someone who's not on an iPhone, and it went to like the text he wasn't monitoring. So he got that on the weekend. He was back 3 days later. He sent them a quick note and said, hey, I was on vacation. Can we still jump on a call? And you won the client back.
Yeah. And so there's two things you can do. The first thing is you can have your phone do the roaming if you want. For my plan, it was like $35 a day. And I was like, you know what? Brandon's taking over from a money perspective. Not even that. It was like, I kind of want to be off the grid. So I may as well just use Wi-Fi whenever I need it here and there and not have my data on. So I was getting iMessages, but not the actual text messages, which I knew going forward. And it was just the one lead that came in. I usually have all of my realtors send me leads through email intro. So I didn't expect too many text messages to come in, but it just so happened that this was a lead from a financial advisor, and he sent my contact information to his client, and then he texted me and he tried calling a couple times too. So he didn't even care. He was all good about it, and he was waiting for me to come back, and he didn't even know I was on vacation. So I was like, hey, back on vacation. Sorry, man. Do you want to hop on a call today? And so we were able to connect the day I got back and sent him over the application. He started it and it went well from that perspective. So don't like, I'm not saying every lead will wait for you, but you'd be surprised like how easygoing people are.
Yeah. And I think for those ones who are like, fuck you, why are you on vacation? Why didn't I get a response right away? You might lose them and that might cost you $5,000. But like, if you never take this time to enjoy your family and life, that's going to be at a greater cost. This $5,000 in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter. It's important to take this time for yourself, for your family, and for your business to ultimately grow bigger.
Well, and put it this way, when I was gone on that week, I like to think that it really refreshed and reset my mind from a creative perspective, because when you're burnt out and you're kind of going from day to day and you're in the mortgage business, you're in the files, then the creative aspect of your mind kind of like dissolves and goes away. Whereas like that week kind of reset it. And I came back, and this is for another episode, but I titled the document Aruba Thoughts. And I had this whole document of things that I was thinking of when I was on vacation, like, you know, at the poolside with a beer or on the beach, just kind of like texting away on my iPhone notes app. And it all just kind of like started coming back. It's like, oh, that's cool. So that $5,000 that I could have lost, or what X amount of dollars, I imagine that any of those ideas that actually come to fruition that will improve our business. Like, I had so many ideas on client journey that I probably wouldn't have had if I didn't take that vacation. And that idea that we implement into the client journey that we're excited for, specifically strategy calls, which we can share later, that will probably make us more money than whatever money I lost during that week.
100%. I couldn't agree more. So everyone, if you're sitting on the fence wondering if you can take a vacation, yes, you can. If you should, yes, you should. Find that partner, follow the steps here, and go enjoy some time in the sun.
Absolutely. With that being said, let's sign off. But before you do that, please leave us a review. It would be very greatly appreciated. It kind of keeps us going. And your messages over DMs on Instagram, being thankful for the episodes, we appreciate all you guys. So if you can take a second, please leave a review on Spotify, podcast, whatever you're listening to.
Cheers, everyone.